Good Saturday afternoon, and welcome back to All Things Marcellus with attorney Doug Clark. I am Doug Clark here at 94.3 FM, The Talker. A reminder, please check out our websites at pagasleaseattorney.com and pipelineattorney.com. And you can email us questions that you'd like to hear addressed at the show at questions@pagasleaseattorney.com. You can also get a lot of great information from the websites and our contact information. Our telephone number, 570-307-0702. Today we've been talking about my general goal of getting gas companies on the property, off the property, and while they're on the property to keep them producing. Earlier we've talked about PEW clauses, shut-in provisions, and now I'd like to focus on commencement provisions. A great concern for landowners is the company's ability to extend the primary term of the lease by some event or activity other than actual production. My goal as a landowner and a lawyer is to create a black and white line as to what constitutes an event that allows the contract or the lease agreement to extend beyond that primary term. Of course, the company seeks to construct the lease agreements in the most vague fashion as possible to permit the lease to extend and avoid paying a second bonus term, or even allowing the lease to go outside of the primary term. In other words, if you're an individual who had a five-year lease with a five-year option, the company is going to want to do everything they possibly can to avoid that lease expiring, so they would have to pay an equal bonus payment for the second 5 years. Similarly, if you have a five-year lease contract, the company would not want to see that lease contract expire to allow you to essentially be, again, a free agent with your property. So, this is a constant struggle that we have in representing landowners in fighting the company to make sure that we define as much as possible the event which will allow this contract to extend other than actual production itself. Obviously, you can see how powerful a provision can be that will allow a company to avoid paying a second bonus. It can literally save the company millions upon millions of dollars and be a tremendous missed opportunity for the landowner. For example, many company leases, and the standard company lease for a lot of different companies, set the primary term extension for such vague activities as in search of gas or oil. This typical general vague language is potentially extremely problematic for the landowner. In search of gas or oil is so vague, a company could almost argue anything that will allow the lease to extend. Things such as internal geological studies, seismic testing, even reviewing of seismic tests, possibly the beginning of a permitting process, or even permits themselves could be used to extend the lease. Remember, permits are generally valid for 1 year and can potentially be extended by the company, which would have the effect of extending a five-year lease for at least an additional year and potentially much longer. Another tactic that I've been hearing about on a regular basis at this point, and especially a lot more towards the western part of the state, is companies drilling cheaper, shallower wells right at the end of the primary term in an effort to hold the landowner lease. You can imagine the disappointment and even devastation for large landowners, often farmers, who feel the entire property, who now has their entire property held by a shallow well or potentially even some other non-production activity. You can see the effect where if a 500-acre farmer could lose literally millions of dollars and a significantly higher royalty if the company finds a way to extend their old original lease that they entered into years ago for maybe as low as $5, $10, or if they're lucky, $25 per acre, and a 12.5% royalty percentage, which is typical, which also would allow for deductions for dehydration and compression and things of that nature. This is, again, where I constantly preach to landowners, please do not make the same mistakes that other landowners did early on in the process. I cannot tell you how many times landowners have came up to me after seminars or spending time on the telephone to say, if only I'd met you before we signed our lease. I routinely tell the landowner to not be hard on themselves because, quite frankly, nobody 5 years ago or 10 years ago, except maybe the gas companies, could have foreseen the gas boom that would occur over these last few years. So farmers and landowners routinely sign leases almost like clockwork to pay their taxes in the farms. For every 5 years or 10 years, the landman would come around. They'd re-up, maybe if they were lucky, get a couple $1,000, and they would use that money for their taxes. They never saw what was going to come in the future and what we're going through now. But again, what we can do is learn from these mistakes and make sure that we don't make them again. The real problem, in my opinion, is when our landowners who signed bad leases now do the same thing or make those mistakes for pipeline agreements, maybe a water impoundment agreement, a water line agreement, or any other agreement that they're looking at the present time. Again, we've seen what the companies are capable of doing, and we now have to make sure that we appropriately defend against this type of activity in the future. Now, there's been many landowners that have immersed themselves in trying to learn complex contract language, and you guys would know exactly what I'm talking about. I've seen leases, literally, terms and contract language that I've studied for years, where I would be dreaming at night and seeing these gas lease terms and gas lease provisions and thinking how can we possibly increase these terms to protect our landowners? And again, I know that many landowners, and I've talked to them, are in the same boat and tell me about literally dreaming of lease terms and addendum terms and things of that nature. Well, thankfully, I've kind of moved beyond that point, but I still have those same sensations every now and again with pipeline terms, compressor terms, and water impoundment. But the nice thing is that over these last several years, I've had the tremendous opportunity to talk to so many landowners, to deal with so many different land agents, both for land services companies as well as for the gas line companies, to really get a great idea of what is available, what we can do, how we can manipulate that language, and how we can learn from the basis that we've established for the last couple years. It's a really tough situation for a landowner who's coming in this for the first time and looking at their individual contract to go out on the internet. There's so much material available out there. But when you read this material, a lot of it just isn't realistic. I have so many times where landowners will come up to me and say, well, I've read I should have this favored nations provision. I should have this provision. I should have that provision. Well, a lot of times those provisions just aren't available. Or if they are available, they're not available in the form that we'd like them to be. I say time and time again, just because there's a heading in your addendum or a heading in any agreement that says pew provision, shut-in, even commencement provision, doesn't mean that that's the language that you're looking for. Over the past 3 years of negotiating on almost a daily basis and being part of this from the very beginning when the first major compensation agreements were negotiated and extensive landowner protections were negotiated, we've learned, and I've learned many of these companies' techniques, and not necessarily tricks, but certainly techniques of what the companies can do in an effort to do such things as extend leases and to hold property as long as possible. I cannot stress enough to my landowner clients that we cannot always get everything we want. It's just never happened. However, all my clients know, and I preach over and over, it's just as important to know what you do have as what you do not have. My goal in representing clients is always to make sure that the client and landowner understands not only the strengths, but often more importantly, what are the weaknesses of the lease that you have in front of you? To know what potentially can happen in the future, so if you go into this agreement, you understand what you have and what positive things can occur in the future, and potentially what kind of negative things could occur in the future that you didn't see. It literally makes me ill when I see the struggling large acre landowners who are often farming and barely staying above water, to hear them say, I never knew that they could hold my entire farm because of 5 acres in a unit. There are times when the best contract offered to landowner does not provide all the protection that we want. I tell all my clients, I see it as my responsibility to educate the landowner as to where the weaknesses are and what may happen or could possibly happen in the future that would allow things such as a company to hold land without any compensation. In many instances, there may be a small landowner may elect to move forward and execute a lease despite weaknesses that we fought to eliminate, but were unable to eliminate. The important thing is that an educated, well-represented landowner understands these potential problems and enters into the agreement with both eyes wide open. From a personal perspective, I feel that we're able to offer a tremendous value in that we've been negotiating these leases on literally almost a daily basis since 2007. And I've always fought to make the most advantageous landowner-friendly terms and property protections from the beginning. We seek in every lease agreement to address every contingency possible that the company could use to their benefit and to the detriment of the landowner. However, it's never entirely possible to do that. And again, we must know where those problems are, and if you're going to move forward to enter into the lease, to know where your problems are in the lease. Now, we're fortunate many of our clients currently are getting well pads, access roads, and water impoundment ponds, pipelines, water lines, and even above ground gas lines. And so we've seen firsthand how companies are operating under the leases, how they're using their original leases to their benefit in these subsequent agreements. So the really neat thing from my perspective is having the opportunity to assist newer landowners who are just getting into the process, who are just looking and sitting down to enter into a gas lease, and seeing how these leases have been manipulated in the years following the earlier landowners that signed the lease. So we're constantly looking to address all the concerns that we were already aware of, but as well as the concerns that we're seeing that the company are taking advantage of, or the terms that the companies are taking advantage of now. At the same time, it's a really neat and exciting opportunity to represent the clients with regard to the pipelines, water lines, and all the other agreements. Again, I can't stress enough that we have to learn from the mistakes that we made in the past. And before you sign any contract whatsoever, it should be really clear now that you should have help. So with that said, please give us a call, 570-307-0702, before you sign any agreement. I tell landowners all the time, it's better to call and for me to say, I'm sorry, I can't help you, or there's nothing we can do about this agreement, than to leave money or property protections on the table that you could have had. We're running up against our time, but I hope the show was enjoyable. I look forward to next week. We're going to be here with you every week. Check out the websites, pagasleaseattorney.com and pipelineattorney.com, and email any questions or topics you'd like to hear on the show. We'll seek to address them at questions@pagasleaseattorney.com. And again, before you sign any contract, call us, 307-0702. Thank you. Again, this is All Things Marcellus with Attorney Doug Clark at 94.3 FM, The Talker. Have a great day.
The opinions voiced in this program are for general information and educational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific legal advice or recommendation for any individual. Listening to this program or submitting email questions to pagasleaseattorney.com or pipelineattorney.com does not create an attorney-client relationship between you and the Clark Law Firm or attorney Doug Clark. No attorney-client relationship shall be formed until such time as your matter is accepted in writing and by the execution of a representation agreement by the Clark Law Firm and the client. It is recommended that you consult with an attorney experienced in oil and gas law prior to entering into any legal agreement or contract.